Let us pray. Holy Spirit, now come upon us in this moment. Lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The year is 1683. The Grand Vizier of the Ottoman Empire, Kara Mustafa, surrounds Vienna with his cannons and with his infantry. The Turk twirls his long mustache and shouts up with a scheming snicker, "In the name of Mehmet IV, I demand your complete and full surrender. No one will die." False words, of course. The people inside tremble. A young captain shouts back from the battlements, "2 days ago, messengers arrived, and we heard of what happened, of your slaughter of Perchelsdorf's inhabitants as they gave in. There will be no surrender." And so, outnumbered 15-1, the Viennese prepare for battle. For 2 months, Mustafa's army besieges the city. Ottoman engineers dig tunnels under the walls. They fill the tunnels with kegs of black powder, and they set off explosions that rock the entire city. Breaches begin to appear in various portions of the walls. The Turks dig more tunnels. They carry even more black powder into the caverns underneath the town. It's only a matter of time now. Inside Vienna, the food is scarce. The situation is dire. Officers shoot soldiers who fall asleep at their posts. Everyone knows that the Turks are on the verge of victory. Despair inside Vienna. But then on September 12th, at around 4 in the afternoon, the weary Viennese hear the sounds of snorting horses in the trees on the slopes above the Ottoman armies. The flash of twinkling steel between branches lifts flagging hearts. And then, a sight to behold, out of the Austrian forests bursts a strange vision. Thousands of horses gallop towards the Turkish lines. Joyful thunder to Viennese ears. Full armor covers the men on the horses' backs. Flashing cuirasses, tilted helms, rounded bucklers. Their lances gleam in the evening sun. Their sabers swing. And behind each soldier, a pair of great wings soars upward. The cavalry charges into the lines with feathered wooden spans fixed behind each saddle. The Polish winged hussars have arrived, and the tide has turned. The Bible teaches us that what our own experience in many ways confirms, that we all have powerful enemies that besiege our lives. St. Paul in the book of Ephesians speaks of the principalities and powers, the forces of wickedness in the heavenlies, evil patterns and purposes that drag us towards the abyss. St. Peter speaks of a roaring lion walking among unsuspecting souls. And St. John in our epistle reading this evening sees fallen angels led by the grand vizier of hell himself, the dragon of old. And that wily old dragon twirls his long mustache with a scheming snicker. "In the name of all that is unholy, I demand your full and complete surrender. No one will die." False words. We know of the slaughtered lives left behind in the dragon's wake, and we tremble. This enemy is not of flesh and blood. This vast cosmic intelligence has cunning beyond us. Already he digs under our defenses. He heaps barrels of lies and temptations into the caverns of who we are. He detonates them. Breaches in the walls, suggestions, fleeing and fleeting mental pictures. It's been a long day at work. You come back through the back door and you realize that you have forgotten to take out the trash. The stink fills the kitchen. You can hear your wife rummaging in the next room. This couldn't be autobiographical at all, okay? A picture flashes through your mind, a detonation under your walls. You can just hear your wife lecturing you. Didn't you take out the trash? I thought I told you to take out the trash. The anger begins to surge up your throat. I can't do everything in this house. The images are now coming in a blur. The whole argument unfolds in your mind. You stomp away to the tote behind the garage. You slam the door on your way back in. Are you okay? Asks your wife. As if you don't know. A breach in the defenses. We fight the demonic with fasting and prayer, as the ancients teach us. But so often we feel outmaneuvered, surrounded, outnumbered, 15-1. And the despair washes over us. Why do we even bother trying to live like Jesus? But then, when it seems that the dragon is about to win, just when our defenses are about to crumble, we hear the snort of horses in the trees. We see the twinkling flash of armor in between the branches. The triune God sends his winged hussars to aid us in our salvation. He sets loose the forms and depths of reality, its vital powers to serve our holiness. Saint Michael the Archangel leads the charge down the slope, lance aloft. Behind him stream the hosts of Yahweh, the angelic soaring powers, wings aloft. And a hymn bursts from heaven. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. Think of the strange coincidences in your life. Breaches are opening up in who you are. Maybe your anger is rocketing out of control. Maybe your envy is starting to dominate your personality. And at that moment, something odd happens. Maybe you flip open an old book in an antique store, and there's a poem about a fool's anger. Or maybe the gaslight comes on, and so you pull into the Shell station that you never use. I thought I had more gas than this. And there's your old friend washing the windows of her truck. And in the course of the conversation, she speaks just the hard, honest word that you need to hear. Coincidences. Strange moments that lead you deeper into the life of God. Moments when you grow in holiness and love. Moments that cut through enemy lines. You hear the snorting horses in the trees? All of the time, God sends his winged hussars to aid our salvation. He sends his angels to push us towards righteousness. With his heavenly hosts, the Lord God attacks the enemies that widen our breaches. He drives back the spirits that would tempt us to sin and to despair. The author of the book of Hebrews tells us that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to serve for the sake of those who are to obtain salvation. And we shake our heads. Nah, I'm not that important. I mean, there's no way God bothers sending actual angels to help me. My life isn't part of some grand cosmic drama. It's small, insignificant. And yes, your life is small. But it's not insignificant. It is cosmic, microcosmic. We are the little ones, the small children that Jesus speaks of in our gospel reading, helpless, easily deceived. And yet Jesus tells us that God sends each of us a guardian angel, an angel charging down the slopes to aid our salvation. Jesus says, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." God uses these ministering spirits, these flames of fire behind the scenes to direct the times and seasons of our lives for salvation, for our growth into glory. The triune God sends angels to fight back the devils besieging us and encourage us to join in the battle. And so we pray in the words of our collect, "O everlasting God, who hast ordained and constituted the services of angels and men in a wonderful order, mercifully grant that as thy holy angels do always do thee service in heaven, so by thy appointment they may secure and defend us on earth through Jesus Christ our Lord." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.